Ladies, let's take a look at what submission means for you in the context of marriage, or for those of you that are single, how you should prepare as you contemplate possibly a future of marriage, what that is to look like, what you should be training your heart in, even if you are not there.
Welcome again to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. We're continuing our series, When Marriage Gets Difficult. Last time, Don presented part one of his message, The Biblical Role of the Wife, in which he gave us the first two of four principles to help us understand the concept of submission. Submission is to be directed specifically from a wife to her husband. In doing so, she's concurrently submitting to the Lord. Today, Don will give us the final two principles. Let's join him now in the Truth Pulpit.
Now let's go to a third point. This submission is based on authority. This submission is based on authority. Look at verse 23 with me. Paul says that the husband is the head of the wife. Verse 23. Four. There you go. You see the basis of this command to be subject to your own husbands. Why should you be subject to your own husbands? Four. Because here is the reason that undergirds that authority. And Paul says, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. The head refers to the place of authority, not simply source, but authority. We talk about the head of a corporation, the head of a department. When we say that, we understand that whoever the head of that company is, he's the one that's in charge. He has the decision-making authority. And then Paul is using it in a similar way here. Ladies, men as well, some of you need to hear that you need to step up to your leadership role. You need to step up to your spiritual authority in the home. I get that. But all of us need to be mindful that God has given to the husband the position of leadership in the marriage. And he wants you as a wife to line up under that authority and not to rebel against it. And notice that he says, verse 23, and when you see it's a striking parallel that he makes, isn't it? It is a bold parallel. I can tell you that personally speaking, if this were not in the scriptures, I would not make this parallel because it is so stark and it is such a holy comparison that he makes. He says, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ also is the head of the church. Christ has authority over the church because he bought it with his blood. Paul says, in a similar manner, the husband has authority over the wife that is to be respected and known and understood. And just as we in the church understand the authority of Christ and we come into submission to his lordship, we recognize his authority, what he says is what we do, and we do that not only out of external obedience, but from a heart affection that honors his authority, that respects it, that gives honor to it in the church to Christ. Paul says, there's the parallel, that's the analogy in which you should think about the relationship between a wife and her husband. Just as the church acts and lives under Christ's authority, so also a wife does under the authority of her husband, and she's meant to defer to it, to respect it, to honor it. Now, ladies, I realize that this cuts against the grain. It swims upstream against everything that the sewage of cultural media lays out before us. This is in direct opposition to what you're conditioned to think in any other place except in Scripture. But you need to remember that Scripture is your authority, that Christ is your authority, that Christ has the defining voice in the way that you think, the way that you respond, the way that you shape your affections, and the way that you live your lives. Ladies, you don't take your cues from what the latest women's guru says, or from Oprah, or from The View, that despicable flow of sewage that comes out. That's not your cue. That's not your defining direction in life. Scripture is. Christ is. And when you come to the purity, the clean water of Scripture, you see plainly what it says. And here's what that means for you. This is not a statement of a wife's inferiority to her husband. It has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority at all. It's all about God-assigned roles. And ladies, if you have been created in the image of God, there is a dignity in your very existence simply by being a member of the human race. God has bestowed great dignity upon you by creating you in His image. If He's gone further and He has redeemed you by the blood of Christ, He has reconciled you to His own holy self through the blood of His Son, and now you are a privileged and welcome person in His presence. You can enter into the presence of God and make your wants and wishes known. And you belong to Christ and you are joined to Christ. And He will bring you into heaven when it's all said and done. And He will be with you and is with you now throughout the trials and the mountaintops and the valleys of life. Well, there's a whole nother dignity laid upon you. To belong to Christ as a blood-bought child of His. There's no inferiority here. God has done nothing but bestow dignity upon you as a Christian woman. Dignity is created in His image. Dignity is the object of the saving blood of Christ. And that dignity isn't set aside when God calls you to live in this way in response to your husband. It has nothing to do with inferiority or God treating women poorly or anything like that. Any of the other distortions that the world would throw against this. This is what God has called women to do for a proper functioning of a marriage, and even more, to display what the relationship between Christ and the church looks like. The church loves Christ, respects Him, reveres Him, submits to Him. Ladies, your marriage is supposed to be an illustration, an example of what that looks like on an individual scale. You have the privilege as a Christian woman to display what the church looks like in response to Christ. That's a privilege, not a diminishment. That's an honor, not inferiority. And so, as we think about how the church responds to Christ, it's obvious what this means to wives in the marriage relationship. The wife is not to act independently of her husband, or contrary to his wishes. When their desires conflict, it is up to the wife to defer. But that is to be the defining mindset in the context of your marriage. God has given this man as the authority in my life. I am to defer, to line up under him, and to live in submission to him. Well, what's the final thing that we can say? Fourth point here is that this submission is comprehensive. We said that this submission is to the husband, this submission is to the Lord, this submission is based on authority. Finally, this submission is comprehensive. And we've already said this, but it bears repeating again as we go through the text. The wife cannot pick and choose where she will submit. In other to say that I'll choose where I'll submit is simply another way of saying I'm still in charge here. I wear the pants in this family, and I'll decide where I'll submit. You'll wear the pants in the family because I say that you do. That's not it. That's not the right perspective. That's not the right way to think about it. Look at verse 24 with me. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Paul makes it very broad. He makes it comprehensive. This is a comprehensive response to your husband, ladies. Look, there's a reason why I framed it with the tone that I did at the start. I realize this can be a challenge, especially if you're married to a knucklehead. Waiting to see if anybody nods or anything like that. No one did. That was smart on your part. It's not limited to when you think your husband is right. And even if you're sure that he's mistaken, you should not rebel against him. We know that because Paul compares it to the church's subjection to Christ. We submit because of his authority. Sometimes things happen in your life and you're not sure what God is doing. Well, that doesn't give you suddenly a license to rebel and to sin against God, does it? Simply because you don't understand this particular manifestation of his providence? Of course not. Well, you say, I don't understand, this is hard, but I still live in submission to Christ as I go through. Well, in a similar manner, ladies, you adopt that mindset toward your husband and you submit to his authority. Yes, your husband may show poor judgment. He probably has, often. But that doesn't change the submission that you're called to. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, as we let Scripture continue to help us understand other passages of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's look at the first four verses here of 1 Peter. He says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." Ladies, won without a word, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Verse 3, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." Ladies, I know that some of you, at least some Christian women that I have known in the past, take it upon themselves to try to be the enforcer of their husband's sanctification. And they delight in pointing out their husband's faults, calling him to account on things that he has done wrong, and creating conflict and confronting him in the ways that he's fallen short. That's not what Scripture describes here, is it? Some of you ladies need to realize you need a tighter regulator on your mouth when it comes to relating to your husband. Because Peter's instruction here is that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. You just graciously deal with your husband in a loving, forgiving way and trust God to work on his heart. And not try to always be creating conflict and confrontation because your husband doesn't add up to what you want him to be. That is not a godly response. That is not what Scripture calls you to. Now, let me clarify a couple of important things here, lest I be misunderstood. And we're going to have some practical applications of this in just a moment. And let me just be very, very clear on what we're saying here. This teaching about submission in a comprehensive way, this does not exclude the wife from discussions about family life or about decisions that are being made. That would be foolish. And that's not the idea. Husbands, submission does not mean that you seal your wife's lips from ever saying anything about anything, and that she just does exactly whatever you deem to be right. That's not it. There is a proper place for discussion, a proper place for appeal that says, "Honey, can we talk about this? Have you considered this? Could you think about it from this perspective?" It is appropriate for a wife to speak that way. It is appropriate for her to address her husband, and men, you should receive that with all earnestness and seriousness and sympathy, as she does. You're not a warden, and your wife is not a prisoner. And so let's not treat them that way. I say without hesitation to all of you men in this room, a smart husband listens to his wife and listens to her contribution and her perspective, because a lot of times she's going to have more insight on things than you do. But ladies, there does come a point where the husband says the decision has been made. When that's done, then you follow your husband and you accept that happily, gladly, joyfully. And let me just say one other thing. I can't be up here with my wife in the audience and not just say a couple of things. You know, One of the things that I have really appreciated about Nancy is the way that she's lived this out in this without a word kind of thing. There have been multiple times where I've behaved badly, I've said something sharply, I've done things, I've made decisions hastily or whatever. And Nancy's consistent pattern of life is that she doesn't make a big contention out of that. You know, and that has a more sanctifying influence on me than if she confronted me at every point of turn. You know, because you kind of know when, as if you're a Christian man, you know when you've messed up, when you've said something. And ladies, when you just quietly say nothing about it, that has more of a convicting force than your angry confrontation ever could. What goes through your husband's conscience is, wow, you know, she could have really nailed me on that, and she just graciously let it pass over, didn't say a word, and you realize that the way that she's responding is out of godliness, and that godliness from a wife has a sanctifying influence, as Peter says, without a word being said to the husband. Ladies, believe in the Holy Spirit. Believe in the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit of God have an influence on your husband and be patient. Maybe, just maybe, your husband's failures are part of what God is using to sanctify you as well, to teach you to be submissive, to trust, to endure patiently perhaps when you're spoken to or treated wrongly. Well, I can speak to these things from experience because I've had the blessing of seeing it lived out before me in my own household, from my own wife. And I know the influence that it's had on me and still has on me. Well, notice something interesting. As you go back to Ephesians 5, here, and it says, the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. What does that look like? What does the church's response to Christ look like, and how can we help apply this in marriage? I'm going to give you 5 points very quickly, 5 points of application, all drawn from Ephesians chapter 5. As you see Paul calling the church to respond to Christ, it seems to me that if he's going to make that analogy, well, where would we look in the context to see what the wife's response to her husband would look like? And just base this on scripture rather than on anecdotal stories or something like that. What can we say that the wife should do? What does this submission look like? First of all, ladies, love him. Love him. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Paul says to the church, walk in love in response to the love of Christ. Well, ladies, isn't it obvious that your love to your husband ought to be one of the applications that you make in this? Sacrifice for him. Show him affection. Affirm him verbally. Show love. You don't need to be taught in that. Scripture says that the Spirit of God teaches you how to love. Well, just take that and apply it in your marriage relationship. Secondly, please him. Please him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. And in contrast to the negative that we were saying earlier about contention and confronting every little fault and all of that, don't be like that. We said, well, here's a counterpart, a positive counterpart to that. Please him. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. We'll start there for context. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He's talking to the church, saying, here's what I want you to do as believers in response to Christ. And what does he say in verse 10? Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. The aspect, as believers, we're called to please the Lord. Paul says, wives, submit to your husband as the church does to Christ. Well, then obviously, somehow that means that wives, part of your submission is to please him, to do that which satisfies him, which makes him happy. You please him in your conduct. You please him in the kitchen. You please him in the bedroom. You please him with your appearance. You know your man. What is it that makes him happy? What does he respond well to? Do that as part of your submission to him. And even if you think he's not quite worthy of it, remember, oh yeah, the Lord is the one who calls me to do this. Thirdly, understand him. Understand him. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul, again, speaking to the church, says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So understand your husband. Listen to him. Be patient with him. Don't provoke him. So you love him, you please him, you understand him. Fourthly, you could say to praise him. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 19. As the church is responding to Christ, what do they do? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving this joyful affirmation to Christ. And then in the immediate context, he says, wives, be subject to your husbands as the church does to Christ. Well, that loving, affirming response that we as believers give to Christ, ladies, there you go for your husbands. Some of you may have to strain to find the things that are worth praising, but you do it anyway. You affirm him. You verbalize your support to him generously. Let him know that you believe in him. You affirm him. You're confident in him. You appreciate him. Finally, we could say, so we said, love him, please him, understand him, praise him. Maybe we can tie them all up in this final point, number 5, respect him. Respect your husband. Verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Drop down to verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Ladies, seek his counsel, seek his opinion. And maybe this is one of the most crucial ways that you could apply it. Above all, support your husband in front of others. Affirm and support, and do not contradict your husband in front of your children. Don't do it in front of other ladies, whether your husband is present or not. You be found as a woman who speaks well of her husband. And if there's not much good that you can say at a particular point in time, that's all right. Just don't go into that critical realm. Your children and your friends and people in the church should not hear you speaking critically and harshly about your husband. That is not respectful. It is not appropriate. And the place where if you need help in a marriage relationship, there are older ladies in the church, Titus 2, there may be times where you need help. But you go and you look for that and you say, I'm having this struggle with my husband. Help me get through this in a way that is constructive rather than turning a negative tongue on your husband and lashing him in front of others. That's inconsistent with respect. We would never speak that way about Christ. And so in the same way, ladies, you need to respect your husband and watch your tongue and how you speak to him and how you speak about him. A wife who does these things will do her part for a good marriage and can rest assured and confident that she will receive an abundant reward from her Lord in responding rightly in this way. Ladies, if you failed, if you've fallen short in this, maybe this week or maybe over the course of life, let me just encourage you to confess your sins earnestly to Christ and make it right where you can and trust that Christ will deal with you graciously, that his blood cleanses you even from the things that you failed at in what we've discussed here today, and rest in his grace going forward, knowing that our Lord is gracious and means well for you in the end. Men, better go easy on your wives as you go out today, because we get to you next time.
Biblical authority is not to be taken lightly. With it comes great responsibility. And as Pastor Don Green has hinted at today, the book of Ephesians details what God expects of husbands very clearly. We'll cover that on our next broadcast as we continue the series, When Marriage Gets Difficult, on the Truth Pulpit. Don't miss a moment. But before we leave you today, Don, let me ask you just to underscore why submitting to authority, whether in marriage or in matters of law, is so important to God.
Well, Bill, that is a really important question for us to wrestle with. God is a God of order, and He has established authority as a means to establishing order to protect people and to help them to live in peace. And so whether it's the matter of submitting to government or submitting to leadership in the church or submission in the home, it's all designed for our blessing, that there would be an order that would bring a predictability and a protection and a security to all of our relationships. And when that order is violated and when people strike out against it, then disorder and conflict come as a result. Just remember this, my friend, God is a God of peace, and whatever He commands is designed to promote peace in your life. And that's why we can submit to the different authorities that God has established, knowing that He intends it for our blessing.
Thanks, Don, and thank you, friend, for tuning in today. I'm Bill Wright. We'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.